It's Tuesday. What's up, guys? Welcome to the See You Next Tuesday podcast. I'm Shannon.
And I'm Shay.
Yay! That's all. No, I'm joking.
And that's it.
So we're just going to get right into it, I think.
And oh, yeah.
We had one of the biggest watches of the week.
The year.
Of the year.
I've been waiting for this forever. We went to go see Chapel Roan in Franklin, Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
Holy, it was magical. I think we both are like on an all-time low after that.
No, we were literally just talking to each other because we were like, hey, how are you? Also, we didn't text all day, so
weird.
Felt weird. And then I was just like, do you get post-concert depression? Because I do, and I'm like in the trenches right now.
No, I'm having it rough.
I mean, I'm going to bed dreaming about Chapel Roan. So
it's like, how do you recover from this?
No, it's like the high is so high that the low is so low.
And it's so low.
I am a big Bonnaroo goer. It's a music festival, for those of you that do not know. It happens in Tennessee in the literal middle of nowhere. And I was telling Shay that I truly get such a low after Bonnaroo. And I don't know if it's because you're just on a high and you're like, this is the best time ever, not thinking about a worry in the world. And then suddenly you wake up and it's Wednesday morning and you
jump scare
responsibility.
Jump scare after
and you're
that.
Not just screaming girly pop songs.
No. And oh my God. So start from the beginning.
There's a whole story with this one.
A whole story, but I'll start with getting tickets because girl, she, so what we talked about at the concert, we were like she probably booked this a year in advance.
Yes.
Like the venue. And so it's not like usually a huge artist like Chapel Roan would go to Bridgestone.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's so major and everyone wants to see her. But I'm pretty sure that she booked the amphitheater, which I loved it. She booked that in advance. And so it was like a struggle to get tickets. And I was like on Ticketmaster for weeks and weeks and weeks. And then she finally, like, I didn't get them for forever. And then she finally put on her story one day. She was like, hey, I got rid of all the bots and like the, you know, the, I don't even know what to call them, like the people who just go on there and buy a bunch of tickets.
To resell them. For two times the amount.
Right. So she was like, I got rid of all of those and there are more tickets. And so I went on there and I think the venue holds maybe 2,000 people and I was 4,000th in line.
Yeah.
And before that, I was like 16.
I think I was like 20,000 in the queue at one point. I was like,
yeah.
Okay, cool. I'm not getting tickets.
Right. And so I was like 4,000th, but I was like, I'm riding it out. And then I got tickets. I got two tickets for like $75 a pop. And I was like, oh my God, amazing. And so we got tickets to Chapel Roan.
Mm-hmm.
And we went to Chapel Roan.
There's a whole nother layer to this story.
Yeah, that's just the beginning.
Yeah.
So we went with my sisters, my mom, and then Bailey, our friend.
And like Shay said, only 2,000 people can fit in this amphitheater. It's an outdoor like venue and everything. It's super sick, by the way. It's just like a quarry, so the whole entire amphitheater is like surrounded by rocks. But first of all, we were like, what, 5 miles down the road? It took us a literal hour.
Yeah,
an hour. This place only has one entrance and one exit.
Horrible.
Granted, they probably didn't design this with in mind Chapel Roan.
Yeah. I even heard that, like, who went there? I think Lana Del Rey played there one time. And a friend of mine went to go see her. She said it took her 3 hours.
It would have 100% taken us that long to leave.
Yeah, to like, leave.
Okay, let me back up here. So
we're entering the theater.
We're entering the show.
Yes.
And we have these tickets and they're like section 302, row L. Like,
there were maybe 10 rows behind us.
Back right corner of the amphitheater.
Well, granted, I didn't get to choose because it's like, if you get tickets, great job, you got tickets. And I was like, I'm happy to just have tickets. You know what I mean? So I don't care where I sit. And so we were in the nosebleeds. You know?
Which we were all happy about.
Oh, yeah.
I was just like, I'm stoked to be here.
Listen, this story, you may be mad at us. And that's okay. But let me just start with this. You'd do the same damn thing. You would do the same thing. Okay. Mm-hmm. And like, that's what I'm going to start this with. If you're going to be mad at me, be mad at me. But my mom, She had pit tickets.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
My mother. Okay. Now, she is a fan. At the end of the day, she is a fan.
But she
isn't a psycho, plays it every single day like me fan. So, of course, I was like jelly and I had my arms crossed. And I was like, ugh. Suddenly I was back on the donkey with tears in my eyes mm-hmm. and everybody was on their stallion stags. And I was just like, I was a little butthurt.
Some tears and donkey ears.
So, and it was really depressing. I was like, mm-hmm. because I texted my sisters. So another part of the story, my sisters also got tickets when I got tickets. So the $75 nosebleeds tickets, they were happy about it too. But my mom had two extra wristbands for the pit. And I was like, I had two of my friends. So it was like three of us can't go there. So mm-hmm. I just let my two sisters go with my mom in the pit. Oh, and it hurts. But then we were up there and my sister calls me. She's like, hey. And I was like, hey. And she was like, come on down here. I want to get you in. And she was like, would you leave your friends if you can get in the pit? And I said, Shannon, Bailey, I respect you. I love you.
We said, we do not blame you one bit.
I said, I'm a head out.
I would do the same. Just like all of you would do
the same. I said, I'm a head out. Okay. I said, I'm going to go to the pit. Love you guys. Mm-hmm. Have a blast. But it's Chapel Rome, baby. I can't miss this mm-hmm. pit ticket mm-hmm. situation. So I went down there and Peyton was like, meet me at the gate of the pit, you know? And so I was like, am I finna be in the pit?
That's all I was thinking.
Am I finna be in the pit?
Mm-hmm.
So I go down there and meet Peyton at the fence. And like, Peyton is just so, she's so type B. She's just so like, she doesn't care. She doesn't care at the end of the day. So mm-hmm. she hands me a beer. She's like, take a sip of this beer. And I feel a little something, something in her hand with the beer. And it was a wristband.
Mm-hmm.
She said, I got this off, put it on, get in here. And I said, shut. So I do that, of course, take mm-hmm. a sip of the beer, put a wristband on, and it was just so easy, right? It was too easy.
A little too easy to the point where I'm sitting up in the nosebleeds. Me and Bailey are still just happy as can be be there. We're just waiting for the show to start. I look down. All of a sudden I see Shay calling me and I'm like, why is she calling me? I pick up and she goes, hey, come down here. And I go, literally my soul left my body and I go, no effing way. You're joking me. And she's, meanwhile, I'm freaking out and she's giving me instructions on what to do.
Like, here's what you're gonna do. And she's not even paying the slightest attention.
Like, I grab Bailey's hand and I'm like, don't even tell her where we're going. I'm like, we're running down the stairs. I'm just on the phone going, no effing way.
And I'm like, you're gonna meet Peyton here. And she's like, wait, repeat that all again. I blanked a second. Hang on.
I was literally, I couldn't, no thoughts. And you're like,
right.
All right, you're gonna come down the center. You're gonna meet me at the gate. Peyton's gonna hand you a beer. With the beer, there's gonna be two wristbands. I am just like,
so you were so happy. And I geeked because Peyton comes back after handing you the beer with the freaking wristbands. And she goes, this bitch just dropped both the wristbands on the floor in front of everybody. And I was like, you're kidding me.
Legit. Any brain cell I had in that moment escaped my body. Peyton's like looking at me and I'm just like,
yeah. Yeah.
Hand me the Michelob Ultra, please. And I'm like grabbing. Also, mind you, the way I'm grabbing this beer is like this. Like
trying to find the wristbands. Like, no, we're shady as shit.
I'm like feeling Michelob Ultra. And I don't know where the wristbands were on this beer, but let me tell you, I didn't grab them.
Oh, Peyton was real slick about it. She was like, I couldn't find them. Same thing with me. I was like,
yeah, I'm like, yeah. Now I'm caressing this Michelob Ultra
right.
in front of
so
the
obvious
front row of the Chapel Rome concert.
Right.
But so then I drop the wristbands and I go, not a care in the world, honestly. I went, oops, scoop them back up. I give one to Bailey. We slide those bad boys on our wrists. We walk around. We walk into the pit and it was too easy.
It was too easy. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
Sue me.
But you would do it.
You would do it too. I don't care. I don't care what you say you do too.
Yeah.
Anyway, so then we got us three in. And you know what? It wasn't even that crowded. It was like the most chill. I've never been in a pit. So like, this is like my first experience, but I was like, this is not crowded at all.
Cause I said the same thing. Cause I like a pit, but I like a pit where I have a bubble. I hate crowds, which is funny because I like going to music festivals, but like people are very respectful of like your own personal space. And usually when you go see one person at a concert and you go to their pit, it's like, it's not like that. People are shoving, elbowing. They'll do anything to get to the front. And I thought the same thing. I was like, wow, there's like no one in this pit. There's so much room. I have so much space to dance.
I can H-O-T-T-O-G-O in and this pit.
And yeah. Not hit anyone.
Karate chop somebody in the throat.
Let me go back in time. When I was in 7th or 8th grade, I had a little bit of a emo phase.
Mm.
Your girl loved a little Pierce the Veil.
Okay.
So I went to a Pierce the Veil concert. I don't know if you know who they are.
I'd have to know a song.
It's screamo, basically.
Great.
It's like pop punk screamo, not like
oh, Shannon's hot.
Yeah. So I went because I was obsessed with them. And I went with a girl on my swim team and one of her friends from middle school, which is crazy to think I was literally a little kid going to this screamo concert.
Oh, that's hilarious.
And me being naive wasn't thinking, oh, screamo concert, mosh pit. Nope, just got down the front, was like, it's one of those like standing room only type venues. And I'm like, we're like, get to the front, like blah, 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 stuff. We're all like filing through. And then finally they come on the stage and I realize like suddenly everyone just starts squishing in and I start to like freak out. And I'm like, oh, I don't really like this. I don't like this, which this is what's cool of me is that this is the first time and only time I've ever crowd surfed.
You're kidding.
Yeah.
In middle school?
In middle school, the only way you could get out of the pit was to crowd surf out to the front to the security so that you could walk around.
Wait, that's hilarious.
I'm like having a full-blown panic attack and I'm literally like, everyone there was so nice though, because I think I looked at the person behind me and I was like, I don't want to be here. And they're like, you know,
get on up there.
They're like, get up there. Let's get her out of here so I can get closer
too.
No
wonder you're a festival girly. Well, that set you up for the rest of your life.
And it traumatized me because I went, okay, no one touch me now. Like yeah. After that, I was like, oh, I hate crowds.
Right.
But yeah, no, that's when I realized it. And also, I was literally 13.
No, you're insane.
I know. When I look back on it, I'm like,
that's crazy.
Now I'm scared to go ice skating.
Oh. Wait, why?
I just think it's dangerous.
You're not an adrenaline junkie. That's okay.
Mm-mm,
no. That's okay. But you know what? This Chapel Run pit was so beautifully,
oh,
beautifully done. The people that were there, everyone was mm-hmm. so sweet. I feel like this is just Chapel Run fans.
I was
They're
say,
all so kind.
It's her fans. Like everyone's just like, hey, love you.
Oh my God. It's for the girls and the gays. And everybody there was just so beautifully kind and mm-hmm. so sweet. And like all of the people in the pit were just like, it was just like a little party. And I had so much fun. And so she comes on.
Mm-hmm.
I could see this girl's pores. I genuinely have never been this close and it has ruined me for mm-hmm. any other concert.
You're
from here on out.
Spoiled.
I got spoiled with like my favorite artist.
Yeah.
You're kidding me?
Uh-huh.
I have never been like more happy in my entire life. And I was completely sober, I will tell you.
Yeah, both of us. We were complete. I mean, I drank one Michelob Ultra,
right.
But I was sober.
The one Peyton hand.
Yeah. That one. Yeah.
Yes.
We all collectively shared it.
Yes. Right. But it was, I mean, we were so close.
It feels like a fever dream. It really feels like a fever dream. But like she has been getting a lot of like hate because she's been canceling.
Mm-hmm.
Because she canceled for a festival right before she came to Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
But she was like, oh, I want to like, you know, for her mental health, which...
respect.
Who? Why are we hating on someone for that? Like
everyone,
people are mad, and I'm like, look, I get it. You spend a lot of money to go see her, and you don't get refunded, especially for a festival.
Mm-hmm.
But like, the girl is going through it.
Well, here's my thing, because I'm about damn sick and tired of social media building up these people and putting them so high on a pedestal and being like fangirling over them, and then they give them this standard that is just nobody can meet that standard. Do you know what I mean? And so I think that that's like really annoying because I'm like, why do you guys keep building these people up just to like then tear them down? She's gotten hate for like 3 different things where people have just blasted her online. And I'm like, leave her alone.
Truly. And like within the span of like the girls like hate for the past 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And she's like, I can't catch a break. And I don't know. I just feel bad. And she's like, I'm going to cancel this festival. Like that she's, I mean, I don't really know, but I'm assuming she wasn't headlining it or anything like that because she wants to do her actual tour,
her shows.
Which is like totally fair. And again, like I feel bad for people that spend the amount of money, buy the flights to go to these festivals. But like, if you want to see her that bad, just
go to her
and go to her concert. Spend money on a flight to go somewhere else, a different state where there are available tickets, or just like something like that. But
yeah, I think that you, I mean, it sucks. And I think that like a lot of people are like, it is unprofessional, but I'm like, you know, what's also unprofessional? Going up on stage and not giving it your all. Mm-hmm. That I won't, if I can't do something to my 100% best, then I'm not going to do it. And I feel like I respect her for that, because she's like, if she's going through it, she's like, I'm setting boundaries. And let's not forget what happens to artists when they don't set boundaries. A lot of the times they literally go down a rabbit hole that is so horrible. And this girl is like, I am setting boundaries, and she has every single right to.
Yeah. And that's the thing is like this, like you just said, you kind of like spiral if you don't recognize that like what you're doing is causing your mental health to just plummet.
Mm-hmm.
It reminds me so much of Miley Cyrus, because I watched the Disney Channel documentary.
Oh, I did.
It's so good. But like, I mean, it's pretty much like her just singing her whole, I can't remember the last album she came out with, Flowers.
Yes.
That one. But then in between, she like talks a little bit about it. And I wrote down what she said, because this whole Chapel Roan thing and her mental health and taking a break reminds me of Miley Cyrus saying this, and like why Miley Cyrus does not perform now. And she was like, having every day the relationship between you and other humans being subject and observer is not healthy for me, because it erases my humanity and my connection. And without my humanity and my connection, I can't be a songwriter, which is my priority. And I literally was like, Chapel Roan is literally doing what Miley Cyrus couldn't do when mm-hmm. she was like
young,
15.
Right. Because how would you know? It's like when you have that much fame, you're like, okay, I'm going to do everything that I can and listen to everybody, what everybody says, but that's impossible.
Yeah. And I'm like, why are we treating people like they're just machines?
Mm-hmm.
She's like an actual human being with actual emotions and actual feelings and thoughts. And
yeah,
the girl is going through it. She's suddenly super famous, and we just have to give her a break.
Yeah, and I agree. And I think that if we want her to come out with bops like she's been having, give her some damn space and let her work, and stop making her like, stop putting her on this pedestal for so many other things
mm-hmm.
other than she's a writer. She's an artist. No, but I think that I respect her. I think that she is doing it in a way that makes her happy. Mm-hmm. And if that's going to have her continue to make beautiful music, then I respect it.
Me too. So. And I say...
Oh, and she put on a... Oh,
I was going to say, and with that, I say, I was posting my Instagram post and just like on my story. And when I tell you it took me an hour, because every song I love and I couldn't pick 10 slides.
I know.
I don't know. Do I pick
Feminine Omenon?
Why can I only say it when I sing the song?
Do you know what I found out?
What?
You know, the album was supposed to be called Feminine Omenon.
Mm-hmm.
Feminine. Right. Well, that reminded me of it, because the album was supposed to be called Feminine Omenon. And she said that that was the album for a long time. And like before she came out with it, she did an interview or something like that. And the interviewer could not say Feminine Omenon. And then she was like, well, if they can't say it and if they can't spell it, how are they going to find my album?
Exactly. I mean, fair.
So that's why she named it
The
Rise and Fall of a Midwest Princess. And then the first song is Feminine Omenon. But I'm like, now everybody knows Feminine Omenon.
I know. I still can't Feminine Omenon. No.
Okay, don't hurt yourself.
They still can't
say it. I've typed it out.
When I sing it, I hit it hard.
See, when it's like, when I sing it, I sing it right.
I sing it right. No. If I don't, no one can hear me because it's loud enough.
This is me always, like my sister was like, what's one of your favorite songs? And I was like, Feminine Omenon.
I love that song. Yeah.
Oh, it's so good. My favorite song that she performed, though, was Kink Is Karma, dude.
Oh, that one hit.
She got in there. Like, she was like full. That was my favorite song she performed. Mm-hmm. It's not necessarily my favorite song in the album, but that performing wise, that was like,
I think,
crazy. She went crazy.
Yeah. It's also like the, not to geek out, but like the light show and the guy who, maybe it's her, honestly, but the person who did all the lights for that song.
Oh my God.
I literally was like losing my mind. I was like, I am at a party. I'm like freaking, I'm like the stroke. I literally have no words for how fun and amazing that was.
And it's like everybody, you know, everybody in that stadium was like getting angry at the words. Like, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. she's like,
we're feeling it.
We're screaming to the mm-hmm. top of our lungs. I can't think of the lyric, but it's like, go to hell.
Yeah, I recorded that. That's the only part I recorded not of that one song, recorded that.
But it's like even the parts where it's like ruin your life, dyeing your hair. It's like we were all like screaming it to the top of our lungs. And so was she. And that's why I was like, it was just such a connection, you know? Yep. Like we were all just like angry about like an ex or about something mm-hmm. that did us wrong in the past life. And it's like, this is literally like your karma is like hot.
Yeah, it's quite literally her kink.
Right. So I that was my favorite one that she performed.
I know that one was fun. Mm-hmm. Oh, God. We could talk about this.
All day.
All day.
And picture you did not let down.
Mm-hmm. We were the whole time there. We were like, what's the one with the yodeling?
Where she's like, oh. Like the like freaking Snow White where she's like, oh.
Literally the first note comes out of the song and I look at you and I go, this is it, the yodeling.
You know what I just found out and like, sometimes I'm an idiot and I just sing the songs. I don't pay attention to the lyrics. But this song, right before I went in there, you were like, was it you or Bailey?
Bailey. She told both of us. We both thought it was feeling.
Something else. But she was like, oh, did you know Picture You is about masturbation?
Oh yes, yeah. That.
And I was like, God. Now that I listen to the lyrics, I'm like.
No, same. Because she was singing on stage and this was the one where she had the wig.
Yes.
She had her Statue of Liberty wig.
And then she kissed.
And she's kissing it. And I literally was like, wait, I get it now.
I get it now. Like, how could I be so blind?
I know she's actually spelling it out for me.
Do almost you picture me like I picture you? Lying afraid of what I'm going to do?
Yeah.
Like, it's no, literally it makes just so much sense.
Exactly like casual. Like, right. Truly, she tells you exactly what she say.
Yeah, and I'm like an idiot.
Yep. And I'm like, wow.
And I think it's like, I'm like, oh, it's such a beautiful, heartfelt song. Girl, it's about her looking at a picture
of you.
Yeah, that one was really good too. I think casual, everybody felt too. Casual.
Truly,
was good.
I don't think there was one bad one.
No, there wasn't. I can go on and on and on.
I know. I could talk about every song individually, but I'll save you the time.
Oh,
and
yes.
Us the breath.
Right.
But all you need to know is that you should immediately buy tickets to whatever city, state you are closest to.
100%. We are full Chapel Run fans. Okay. Yeah.
I have been for, we were introduced at the same time. So,
yeah. Anna was at our house one time and she was like, have you heard? And
I said, Chapel Roan.
Little did I know my life would be changed after that night.
Little did I know I would find an album where I don't hate a single song.
Right. And I'm like, I haven't heard this type of music in so long. Like where I'm like, everyone is a hit. Every mm-hmm. slow songs, I scream them. The upbeat songs, I scream them. Like they're so good. And I even love her School Nights album too. Like she just hits. She's so fucking good at what she does. She's a beautiful singer and a beautiful artist. So anyways, yes, I agree. Go see her.
We love her.
It's a must. It's a need. Mm-hmm.
And she is your favorite artist.
Favorite artist. Yep.
Okay. On to the actual watches of the week.
Yeah.
Back to our good old Tell Me Lies. I think we both really binged it.
Yeah. I've been up since till 1 a.m. every night watching it.
And I'm so proud that
I know
you have caught up.
And I've caught up. So I finally am like waiting for the next episode now. So I know what everything that's going on. Mm-hmm. So I think we're going to start just episode 6.
Oh, episode 6. Yes. Yeah. Episode 6 was crazy.
That was the Thanksgiving day.
Snow day in. There's just so many things in this episode that happen.
Yeah.
That had me just like on the edge of my seat where I was literally like, okay, also who plays slap shots?
Dude.
What kind of game? Why is that fun? Well, I don't want to slap you.
I don't want to slap you.
I don't even want to take a shot.
I don't want to get slapped.
Neither of those things sound fun to me.
That sounds like the worst game ever. And I know that they were sitting there like writing this down, like writing for the thing. And they're like, what game should we play? What would really get the tension high? Slap shots.
Right. That's not even a real game. I mean, maybe it is. I've never played it, but like.
No, I'm like, I've never heard of anyone actually. I mean, you go to like there's some like bars that do slap shots. Mm-hmm. I actually saw this TikTok where this one girl did a slap shot. It was like, she was like her 21st birthday and the bartender who was a woman was giving this girl a slap shot. She knocked this 21-year-old out. Cold. Stop. Just well, like so fear. Hard. Like it was almost like a punch because her slap was so hard and she just passed out.
Oh, You're okay.
Did I just knock her out?
Yeah. Come
here. And I was like, dang. Anyway.
No, but the one thing I did say, we were watching it and I was like, well, honestly, the slap would probably take the pain away from the shot.
And why are they continuously drinking straight vodka? You guys are insane.
Insane.
I feel like that's very college though. No?
Yeah, no, it is.
Girl, you drink a fifth of vodka.
No, that is true. That was for a party. It was for fifths and cups. But no, I was more of a cider drinker.
Oh, of course you were.
Yeah.
My demure little Shannon. Mm-hmm. So demure.
I drink the same thing every time. A six pack of Angry Orchard apple ciders.
And
yeah, now I drink it and I'm like, girl, how are you drinking six of these? Like, you probably had a sugar rush.
Yeah, that was your drunk.
That was my drunk. It was actually just a sugar rush. I'm like walking around like, so, and it's like 3 a.m. Who wants to hang out?
Yeah. I really appreciated Leo not giving in.
Oh, that's what I was going to say.
How embarrassing for Steven.
That's what I said. I said when Leo, he was provoking Leo and just he said,
pinched his little cheek.
You're so adorable.
Oh.
I said, that was hot.
That was a bigger slap in the face than actually slapping him in the face.
I always say when a guy like doesn't go to violence or doesn't like freak out and does something like that, it is so much. It's just so much better. Like in all fronts, like. It's more attractive. Mm-hmm. It's more mature. Mm-hmm. Like, it's cooler. It hits harder for the other person because they did not win.
And Steven was the person that Leo's ex-girlfriend cheated on him with. He had so many reasons to just be pissed.
Just punch him right there, actually.
But my thoughts on this was, why was Diana not angry? Why was she not like, why are you going after your ex-girlfriend's boyfriend right now? That's what, giving like you still care.
That's what I was thinking too. I'm like, Diana is clearly so unbothered because she has a crush on Pippa and doesn't really care, but she's with Steven. Right. But she doesn't realize that yet.
Right.
But it's almost like she unintentionally is just like, well, I'm just gonna let it go and let Steven do his thing, because she knows she doesn't actually like him deep down. But like, it's just so sad because I was thinking the same thing. I was like, this other girl that Evan's with realizes it. Basically, it's like the same thing, kind of, just in a different
font. That was also
satisfying
of her to slap Evan in the face.
Yeah.
That was aggressive.
She was aggressive.
Ooh, but I was like, deserved.
Yeah.
No, but I know. I'm like, I just didn't understand that, because in other ways, though, she does like come at Lucy. Like, she is like,
well, the thing that she said to her, and she was like, I don't make it easy.
Yeah, some girls make it easy to be manipulated.
Yeah. And I said, oh.
But I'm like, how are you not going after your boyfriend who's being crazy in front of your eyes?
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, Diana, you're literally listening to this conversation. He came at Lucy and her boyfriend to provoke a fight between them, which in return provoked a fight between all three of them. And then Diana has the audacity to say that. And I'm like, girl,
why is she not like, Steven, calm down?
Yeah, I'd be like, stop.
Yeah, stop. I would literally be like, can you not, or I'll leave. Like, yeah. That's insane of you to act like this.
Let me tell you, if this was someone I was dating, I would have broke him a long time ago.
I mean, it's just the fact that why is his attention on his ex-girlfriend?
Yeah, why do you care? Also, I mean, like, we could go all the way back and be like, God, why are you guys all having Thanksgiving together?
We could go there. That's weird. I mean, I would think that Lucy so badly doesn't want to be around Steven that she would have left. But
that's what I thought too. I thought they were like snowed in college, but I'm like, they weren't snowed in.
You could have easily walked home, sugar.
Leo left.
Yeah.
They all left, they pretty all, much. Yeah. I was like,
yeah.
I was like, why are we all staying here?
At this point, Wrigley's my favorite character.
I said this the other day. I said, I love Wrigley.
Wrigley is eating lately.
I love him. He's just great. I love him and Pippa's relationship.
Me too.
I'm just eating it all up.
Me too. I'm like, in the first season, he bugged the crap out of me.
Same.
He was so annoying.
Stupid jock. And now it's like he has matured a little bit and realized like, oh, football can't be my life.
Yes. And also Pippa's a great girl.
Yeah.
And like, now, I don't know. I really liked, he's just, first of all, unbothered by everybody else.
I love it. He's so unbothered.
He's like, it's getting weird in here. Let's play slap shots. That, like, so funny.
That killed me. He was like, he looks around, people are on their phone, like
arguing.
Over there. And then he's just like, slap shots?
Right.
That sounds like a solution.
He's like, genuinely, he's like one of the people who hold the whole group together.
He really is.
Because like, if you didn't have that person, everyone would just be leaving and like separate, you know?
They'd be like, why are we hanging out?
Yeah. So anyways, I think he's so far becoming my favorite.
No, he really is. He's truly my favorite.
Also, I'm like thinking Drew, his brother, I'm like in the beginning, it was like, I think season one, they were like, you know, he mm-hmm. came to the wedding thing and he was like really sloppy. And they were like, it's his brother's birthday. Like, let him have his time. And I'm like, ooh, is that alluding to his brother dying?
I know. That's what I keep thinking. I mean, we don't know. But
we don't know yet.
I have a bad feeling that I know exactly where that's going.
I know.
And it sucks because the phone call that he's calling his little brother, when he's like,
asshole.
I love you, asshole. And he goes, I didn't mean that.
You're not an asshole.
It's like, this is why I love you, Wrigley.
It's so sad to see all of that go down. I don't know. I think that, I like Wrigley now for sure. But at first, God, he was so.
But annoying. I know, I feel like it's that buildup where like we really like Wrigley. And I think that's the majority of the consensus, to just break our heart that when we find out something bad happens, it's we're going to feel so much worse for Wrigley.
So we only have two more episodes. And then
really?
It's done. I think it's only eight episodes. I know. It's like depressing. I'm like, how is this going to end? It's obviously going to be a cliffhanger.
It's going to be a cliffhanger, but they're going to have a good season finale because they had a great season one finale.
Oh, jaw on the floor.
So I'm like.
Well, I want to know what I am excited to see is. What happens with Lydia and Lucy?
Yes.
Because she's like, I will never forgive you.
Yeah, that confused me. I was like, well, forgive her for what?
Here's what I'm thinking. It's got to be the brother thing. She's got to do something to her brother. Because that piece of shit deserves everything that's coming for him.
Yeah.
And that's probably what it's going to be. But I'm like, why would Lucy feel bad for that?
Yeah.
If she ruined his life, I think that that's well deserved.
Exactly for what he did.
Right. And so I think that's the only thing that I can think of right now. Other than that, I mean, she did... I don't know. Steven did tell her best friend that, like, when he was mad, he was told her all that stuff that Lucy said, which she obviously twisted.
Which I think is, like, not fair because, like, you can, like, girls, you, especially when you know someone for that long, you're gonna complain about things. I mean, just like how you will probably, you complain about your boyfriend. Like, you complain about that people do. Mm-hmm. And it's just unfortunate. It's like stuff that they're not supposed to hear. And it's not malicious in any way. It's just like, oh, like they're annoying in this way, like blah, blah, blah. Or they're annoying you that day. So you say something that's kind of mean. But like you never intend for them to hear it because you genuinely love that person.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. I'm like, if you've been best friends since kindergarten, you've had to have tiffs where you're like, oh, well, that's your ex-boyfriend. I'm sure he made it out to be crazier than it is.
I said the exact same thing because I've known Aisha since first grade. And I literally, Aisha's my best friend from when I was a kid. Still is.
Shout out
Aisha. But I was like, if Aisha heard like Will go up to her, or not Will, I guess my ex-boyfriend, go up to her and say something that I was like talking crap about her, she'd be like, okay. Like,
oh, I
leave
hate
me
it.
Alone. Like, okay. And then if she had a problem with it, she'd be like, screw you, bye, whatever. And then if she was like, hey, Shannon, like, so-and-so told me this. Like, is it true? Like, you know what? Yeah. She would talk to me like a normal human being. She wouldn't just end our friendship and be like, peace.
Right. Well, I mean, she ended up being like, it's fine.
It was weird.
But I hated how she reacted. And she knew all the things that Steven did to her. And Lucy punched her ex-boyfriend for cheating on
literally.
Her. And she's sitting there hearing Steven out.
Yeah. And she's like, he did say you said this. And I'm like.
And her face when he was saying it, like, was so hurt. I was like, can you please tell him to STF you?
Yeah,
because your best friend is your best friend.
That was annoying me, too, is the fact that her facial expressions were almost like, I'm hearing you out. And I was like, no, I don't care if you are hearing him out. You stay you stand strong and screw you.
Well, it's the same thing with like, I always hear this if it's like, you know, I just think it's respectful. If you're out, say you're out with your boyfriend and, you know, you take, even if sometimes he can be wrong on some things, but you take his side in front of other people
and then
you discuss it in private.
I agree with that 100%. You never correct.
Right.
Your significant other or honestly, even if it's if it was you saying something, I'd be like, yeah.
I'll back you up till the end of my day.
The sky is purple. And they're like, no, it's not. And we're like,
it is. And then we're like, after that, we go in private and we're like,
So Shay, I don't think it's actually purple. I think it might be blue.
But I will back you. If there is like something where somebody's dissing you, I will back you up till the end of my days, literally. And then I'll be like, maybe
we should talk about this later.
But you don't do it in front of them because that just like that lowers you and their thoughts of you.
Exactly.
So that's, I don't know. That pissed me off. I was like so annoyed with her on that. I'm like, are you really a best friend? No, I wouldn't do it.
Yeah, so Tell Me Lies is amazing. If you haven't watched already, what are you doing? Honestly,
I mean, it's addicting.
It's addicting.
And I think we're also going to continue this conversation because the next episode is out next week. And I think that we can definitely keep talking about it.
Oh, yeah. We could actually sit here and talk about it for 2 hours. So
it's so good. It's addicting. There's just many things.
There's so many little things that we can debrief on. And yeah.
It's like even after I turn it off, I just sit in bed and I think of all that happened. I'm like, that's crazy.
I honestly will say I do think everyone should watch it just for your own personal knowledge. Mm-hmm. Because like if you ever meet someone in your life like Steven, you really should know all of this.
Just know what men are capable of.
Yeah.
Like the manipulation is crazy. Anyways, mm-hmm. we have another series that is out and is definitely a topic of conversation.
It's a hot topic.
It for sure is. I have not watched it yet. I've been a little busy with Tell Me Lies.
Yeah, she's been binging to catch up and right. I'm very proud of her.
Thank you.
So I watched this. It's the Monsters series, the Menendez brothers ones. Mm-hmm. If you don't know what that is, the show isn't necessarily true. It's based on true events. It's about these two brothers, Eric and Lyle Menendez, who murdered their parents. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty much the whole entire thing that you need to know. But Monsters is it's a series mm-hmm. by Ryan Murphy, and he is the guy who wrote American Horror Story. He's the guy who wrote, or he did Monsters, Dahmer. So like Monsters started with Dahmer. That's all about Jeffrey Dahmer, obviously. Mm-hmm. So this show is great. Mm. For a lack of a better word, it is a good show.
I think I'll put my input on this mm-hmm. because this is a controversial thing. I think that the show did not represent Lyle and Eric's life and story the way it should have. But I think that Ryan Murphy can put on a good show.
So when I say like it's a good show, it's truly a good show.
He's good at entertaining.
Yeah. He is, I think, known to dramatize stuff.
Mm-hmm. And twist things.
And twist things, which granted to his defense in a way is that he's making a show. It's supposed to be entertaining. And he also is trying to show this is what's hard about the show is because you really watch it and you should educate yourself and look up and research what actually happened in the 80s and not base your knowledge off the show because
opinion on the show.
Too. Yeah. The show is not the facts. He takes every single angle that pretty much anyone ever had. Like, people that, you know, there was this guy who had a theory that they had an incestual relationship, the two brothers, and that's just not true mm-hmm. at all. And he included that in the show. Mm-hmm. And granted, for drama purposes, very entertaining.
Right.
But it is not what actually happened. I don't believe that's what happened. Some people do. It's like a conspiracy theory in a way.
So what I think is like when this trial was going on in real life, there were so many different opinions. People thought, because it was pretty much like the consensus of the trial was if the boys were being abused, mm-hmm. then they wouldn't have gotten, I don't know what kind of sentence they would have gotten, but they wouldn't have gotten life. So it was pretty much like they were either being abused and they had to prove it mm-hmm. or they weren't and they were lying. So there were two different opinions from outside looking in. This was all like the whole trial was televised, which is insane.
Which was crazy because I told my parents to watch a show and my dad was like, me and mom watched it happen.
Watched
it live on TV.
Which is crazy that it's just
insane. In I guess it was in like the 90s, my parents were tuning in on TV to watch this trial. And they're like, yeah, we know, but mm-hmm. we're going to watch the show, which is just so interesting to like talk to my parents and be like, wow, you actually lived through this trial and now you're going to watch the mm-hmm. show. Crazy to me.
So some people also think that they killed their parents because of money. Mm-hmm. Some people said that they did it because of abuse. So it's just so many different opinions. And I think that Ryan Murphy's angle, I haven't seen it again, mm-hmm. but I think what he was doing was, like you said, putting all, like making the story like come across from the viewer's point of view.
Yeah. So he tries to show every single angle. Mm-hmm. So you feel like you're watching it and you're like, wow, they were abused and da, da, da. And then he shows you the incestual relationship between the two brothers. And then he shows you the spending spree they go on. And then he shows you like all the other outside views of people's opinions and stuff. So you kind of are watching it and you're like, I'm a little confused on whose side to take in a way. And that's why I say you should educate yourself on the actual events that happen, because then I think you can actually take an opinion and a stance on it, because there's just so many things that he puts in there that are very dramatized. And I also don't like that Eric Menendez came out and said, the real Eric Menendez came out and said that the way they portray Lyle on the show is just like not true at all, which kind of makes me really sad because they portray him as such an arrogant asshole, like such a bad person, which confused me because I was like, I kind of want to believe the brothers. And I'm like, the way he's acting is making it hard for me.
Well, that's what's so frustrating is because what I've seen on this whole case is Lyle's, is Lyle the younger one?
No, Eric is the younger one.
Okay, Lyle's well, then never mind. But yeah, I mean, there was, I think that Eric, I saw Eric telling his story on the stand and stuff, and like, I was like, I cannot even imagine what kind of abuse this man has been through. And like, as a boy and like as a, you know, growing up, like that's so insane and horrible. So I'm like, if Eric went through that, like, I'm like, God, I just can't even imagine. So I would be like so annoyed that that they would portray him as that.
Yeah.
Because I do believe him.
I do too. Because I think that after like researching a lot too and like watching actual videos of the actual trial, like there are people in their family mm-hmm. that have testified and said that they've heard things with their dad taking like Eric into bedrooms mm-hmm. and he was like, whatever you do, don't walk down this hallway. Like people, literally his cousin, mm-hmm. his like mom's sister is saying all of this stuff. And I'm like, how are we sitting here thinking that it's not
right
real?
Yeah.
And then I guess they found within the past 10 years, they found a letter that Eric Menendez wrote in 1988, which is a year before they murdered their parents, basically saying that he was abused and all this stuff. And I'm like, he saying, wouldn't like, be yeah. writing that a year before he...
That's I'm like, that's proof.
Yeah. Crazy. And then there was another guy. So I believe his name is Jose Menendez, their dad. He was like a major guy in the entertainment industry, like mm-hmm. music and stuff like that. And he managed this boy band, and one of the members of the boy band basically came out and said that he was also sexually abused by Jose Menendez. And I'm just like, how much more
right.
do we need? And I understand that like we'll never really, really know what happened, mm-hmm. but I just don't think that they deserve to be in jail for life without mm-hmm. parole.
Mm-hmm.
And like, that's the whole point, what you were saying earlier, is if they were able to get off, they would have got like, I don't know, I think it's like 10 years or something on manslaughter,
mm-hmm.
and then they would have been able to get out of jail.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just, I don't know, the whole thing, and then them being sent off to different prisons, separated, and they just saw each other for the first time after 22 years.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's so, it's really yeah. gut-wrenching, the whole thing.
Yeah.
And I think also Eric Menendez said that it's really sad that the way they portray men being sexually abused in this show, because it really downplays it
mm-hmm.
as if they can't get sexually abused, which is sad.
And as I've seen a lot of like how men who are sexually abused, they must be gay.
That's the other thing too.
And that's also just an insane thing to think or say mm-hmm. or portray in a show. So like, yeah, I still haven't watched it. I want to watch it, but at the same time I'm like feeling for the brothers as well, because I'm like, I don't know, I saw what Lyle said before the show, or Eric said before the show, where he was like, they
this
portrayed
is a terrible portrayal, yeah.
right?
Well, they also basically say he's gay in the show, and he's like, I'm not gay,
right?
Which is to your point, is that if you were sexually abused, it's
yeah. Which is an insane thing to like portray. But I have seen a lot of edits on TikTok. I've seen a lot of like the scene.
Okay, Ryan,
it really is like a well, like,
oh, it's,
I love the, like the scenery, the coloring. I don't know.
If we remove the fact that this is very much a true events, based off of true events,
mm-hmm.
it's a very good show.
Yeah.
And Ryan Murphy really knows how to cast some good looking guys.
Right.
I'm like, there's something sick and twisted about him. To make a viewer and this isn't more so to Eric. I mean, they are very attractive guys, but like Dahmer too, some people, I mean, it was Evan Peters.
Love
it. And it's like, it's very sick and twisted that you make the viewer almost become attracted to right. a serial killer.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, you got to grab them in. You got to, for some reason, make them like this person because they have to be torn on how they feel. Right.
It's so,
yeah.
It really gets me confused. It's a lot. I'm confused. And that's the thing. I'm like, I was watching the Menendez brothers and I was like on the show and I was like, wow, Lyle's really attractive. And then I'm like, oh, but he's just a terrible person. But I'm like, yeah. And then you slowly become like, oh, Eric's kind of cute too.
I know. I saw the edits and the actors and I'm like,
I love a TikTok edit.
I love a TikTok edit. But I also really love that the actors, because not like, a lot of people are hating on Ryan Murphy right now mm-hmm. because of what the portrayal of it. But like, I think the actors who played the brothers are really speaking out for the they real are. Life brothers, which I love that. And I love them even more for that, because I think, at the end of the day, actors don't really have a say in what they're going to be scripted yeah. for and as.
The guy who plays Lyle, like, I don't know his full name, but his name's Nicholas. And he pretty much said that. He was like, look, like I'm portraying a character for someone who wrote this show.
I am just the actor.
And he's like, I completely understand where the brothers are coming from. And, I'm never going to sit here and say what they said's wrong. Like it's their life. And mm-hmm. pretty much is saying like, I had a job and that was my job. And he said something like, he was like, I just have to gracefully let it go.
Well, yeah. And I think that he, you took the job and now you are, the show's massive. Mm-hmm. You are now well known because of the show, and for you to use your platform and for people to be like, I don't know, you have a bigger platform and people are listening to what you're saying. Yeah. And for him to use that platform to speak out for the brothers, I think that's awesome. Yeah. And like, you, again, you're the actor, you're just getting a job, man.
Not to say that one brother is speaking out more than the other, but I think he actually spoke to the real Eric Menendez and like everything, just to get to know him for his character and all that stuff. And he's like really, really like speaking out for them, I feel like. And so is the woman who plays the mom, the Mrs. Menendez, if you mm-hmm. will. Kitty Menendez.
Kitty, yes.
And I agree. Like, I just think it's good that they're not, no one's trying to shut down what they're saying, because yeah. like, again, it's their life. They lived it. It's a great, entertaining show.
Yeah.
But to the whole point, like, definitely research it and like,
yes,
do not ever watch a TV show and take facts.
Form an opinion on it.
Yeah. Like, that's just like stupid, because I personally will watch a show, especially if it's a show like this. And while I'm watching it, I'm like,
research.
Did that really happen?
Me too. Every time. And I'm like,
the fact that people don't do that blows my mind. But
well, I do want to watch it, because I think I want to watch it. But again, I'm like, I don't know if it's going to sway. I do want to watch
you
it.
You do want to watch it.
But also, because I do want to know more about the story, and I am the same way you are. So like, if something is happening that's major, like, I am going to go on and look it mm-hmm. up,
Yeah. I will say there was one interesting thing I found on my research journey. Which I'm kind of upset they didn't include this in the show, but after they killed their parents, they went on the whole spending spree and they spent like $700,000 of their parents' money. But within that $700,000, they spent to go to a Knicks basketball game. And this is insane. They literally are pictured. They got their photo taken. It's Mark Johnson's NBA trading card. And on his trading card in the background are the two of them.
That's crazy.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, that's crazy.
So there's an NBA trading card out there. That trading card.
That value just blew
up. The two of them, they're just right in the background on courtside.
That's crazy.
I was like, why did he not put that in the show? That's an insane fact.
Yeah. Well, I thought it was crazy. The whole thing is crazy. It's just like, I could see how you could look at that situation of the spending spree and being like, oh.
Yeah. They just are not the smartest.
Well, I saw another thing too, where it was like, they, their trauma started so young that their mindset stayed at that age. So there's a saying, I think a lot of therapists speak on this, where they're like, when you're, wherever your trauma starts is where kind of your mind stops developing at that moment. So they said that they were evaluated by a therapist or a doctor or something. And they said, and that person said that they had the minds of an 8 and a 10 year old still. Mm-hmm. So it's like, did they really know what was going on, and how much they, and like what they were doing, I guess. I don't know. It could have been, it's a lot of ways to look at it.
Yeah. You know? That's the other thing too. People are always like, well, they were 18 and 21. Like, why didn't they just run away? And to that point, it's like, when you've been abused so much, I don't think you're in the right headspace anymore. No, like, you don't know what you can do.
And from so young, you're manipulated into thinking there is nothing you can do.
There's no out.
Yeah.
Like, it's just really sad.
Yeah, it is a very, very sad story.
It's very sad. But it is a good show.
Yeah. I saw this one thing where it was like, these men have been living in prisons their entire life.
Their entire life since they were...
Before they went to jail.
Yeah.
That's horrible. Anyways, I think I'll watch it.
You definitely have to watch it.
Okay.
Because so I want to
talk about it.
I want you to talk about
yeah.
it. Yeah. But there's also so many details of the show that are just like not true,
yeah.
which is just very interesting. Like,
so I'm going to look at it and I'm going to look at it with a grain of salt.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
Got it.
But I just want to tell you about the NBA trading card, because I think that's wild.
That is crazy. Yeah, that thing's probably up
a lot of money.
A lot.
So.
Do we move on?
Yeah.
We move on to the see you next Tuesday of the week. This is going to be your story.
Yes, it is.
That you're going to be telling me. Mm-hmm. She's way better at it than I am. Last week, I was like, kind of just pulled it out of my butt and just told a random story I saw. And it was a little bit of a hot take, but like, yeah, hers are better.
We'll be honest. My situation went from bad to worse in a matter of a week, and I don't know where else to turn. I need to know if I was wrong, possibly a validation thing, because life is dumb right now. My wife and I have been together for 8 years, and she just gave birth to our first and last baby 2 months ago. Up until my wife got pregnant, my mom loved her. I'm not sure what the fuck is wrong with my mom or why the switch happened, but after my wife got pregnant, my mom started being very clingy to me and started avoiding my wife at all costs. Told everyone she wasn't excited about the pregnancy, etc. I threatened to go no contact with her when my wife was about 7 months along. And after that, she snapped out of it, and for the most part, and stopped being so ignorant. The comments 100% stopped, at least, though she was still clinging to me. Now, a week ago, my mom, my sister's husband, and my sister's daughter, 12 years old, came over for dinner. I prepared the meal. Before my wife could eat anything, our daughter got fussy, so my wife excused herself to go feed the baby and get her down to sleep. I thought I prepared enough, but apparently not, because my niece was still starving. She's 5'5 and 190 pounds. I haven't seen her in a year, and she was not that size then, so I didn't exactly portion an extra 3 helpings for a child, so it's on me. Dang.
That's a bit aggressive. She's going to be traumatized after that.
He's a little mad. I apologize and told her that I hadn't made any more and offered her crackers as I was putting my wife's portion in the fridge. After that, I just went outside with my sister's husband to smoke a cigarette and shoot the breeze. Didn't think anything of it, but then I hear yelling from inside. When I walk in, my wife and my mom were screaming at each other. Apparently, my mom, who saw me put my wife's food away, gave my niece my wife's portion of food. As I was walking inside, I heard my mom say, "Looks like you can afford to skip a meal," and slapped my wife's stomach. Right as soon as I get ready to step in, literally fast walking towards them, yelling, "Enough," my wife winds back and punches my mother square in the face and drops her. The whole house went silent outside of my mom crying and holding her face. I tell everyone to get the f*** out. Immediately, everyone leaves, and my wife just turns toward the counter and leans with her hands on the counter and face down, eyes closed. I look at my wife and say, "You too, leave now." She says, "Really?" She's crying at this point. I say a clip, "Yup." She packs up her and the baby and leaves. I text her that night and say, "I just need space. I need to decompress and come to terms with what just happened. She doesn't respond. The next 5 days, I'm texting and calling and I get nothing. She shows up here today, so 8 days later, and hands me divorce paperwork and my baby and says, here, you have a bit to hang out with her while I pack. While I'm breastfeeding, we can work out a visitation schedule that is either at your place or my mother's until she will take a bottle. I told her that's not what I want. I don't want to separate. I just needed time to process her punching my mother in the face. She said, you needing time to process gave me time to process the fact that I refused to be in this situation any longer. I defended myself. I initially felt bad and remorseful, but you making me leave when I needed you made me see more clear. I'm done. I'm sorry for what I did, but there's no fixing this. She refused to speak to me at all the rest of the time that she was there. My house feels so empty and I don't know what to do. Am I wrong for making her leave after she punched my mom? I really just needed some space.
Oh God, that's a lot.
Didn't think that's where that was going to.
No, I sure didn't. Here's my thing. I think that mother-in-laws can be very vicious a lot of the times. And so I think that he probably didn't see as much of his mother mistreating his wife, because just that comment, I know it wasn't the first. Her saying you can hold off, or like you can
skip a meal.
Right.
And her stomach.
He walked in and she probably didn't know that he was there when she said that. Mm-hmm. So there's probably so many more comments. I will say, punching her in the face, that goes far. That goes pretty far. I don't think that I would have that in me. Rare back, closed fist. I don't want to break a nail.
The way he says winds up, I'm like picturing him like getting ready to tussle.
Right.
But yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's honestly, it's tough because it's that classic, like, this is your wife, the mother of your children. And yeah, she did punch your mom in the face, but you looking at her and basically comforting your mom and telling her to get out after your mom just looked at her after she just gave birth to your kid and saying you could afford to skip a meal, tapping her stomach is out of pocket.
Well, what I think is, like, this isn't the first time again. And like this, she's now 7 months pregnant. She's probably had to deal with that for 7 months of somebody being nasty. And like, what can you do? You can't do anything.
Yeah.
That's your husband's mom.
That's the thing, is like, you don't want to. That's such a tough space to be in.
Yeah.
But it's unfortunate because you, like, not saying that, like, if you punch your significant other's mom in the face, you should for sure just be like, screw your mom as my wife.
Right.
But like, you probably shouldn't kick your wife
out. But kicking her out, like, if you needed space, how about you leave?
Leave.
Don't make the pregnant woman with your baby.
Oh, I think she might have already had her baby at this point.
Well, no, she had. This was her. She's 7 months pregnant, I think, with her other baby.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Right?
I don't know. Either way is out of pocket to say you could afford to skip a meal.
Right. Maybe. I don't remember if she had the baby yet. Anyway, maybe she did. I don't know. Either way, it's not right. Because, you know, also, I've been through postpartum. You're emotionally unwell.
Mm-hmm.
I've been through pregnancy. You're emotionally unwell.
Yeah.
Don't mess with me.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd punch you in the face, but I don't know. Maybe I would. Who knows?
Who knows?
I'm hormonal. I'm emotional. And
I don't know what I'll do.
Right. I don't know. So I don't know. I think that was crazy for you to kick her out. But I don't know. That's a tough situation.
It is. I do kind of think he is a bit of a see you next Tuesday for doing that.
Absolutely do. And like, I also think that, why did it take you 7 months for you to say something to your mother?
That's the other thing, too. I'm like, I would expect the first rude comment, if your mother said to me, you'd be like, why are you, mom, what?
Yeah, how about let's not do that, or I will
literally never talk to you.
Right. This is my pregnant wife. You're being insane and weird. Like, I think he should have shut. So he is absolutely a see you next Tuesday for not shutting that down immediately.
Because, not to be that person, but like, her punching his mom in the face is kind of his fault.
Yeah, well, maybe you should have done something about it before.
Because he could have avoided this.
Now I'm at my wit's end and I had to punch your mother.
What am I supposed to do? Leave?
I'm
know, I got to punch her.
I didn't have any options.
Nothing else.
That's
she
crazy.
Took my food. She gave it to the
oh, that'll send me
590 pounds.
Girl, that if you take my meal, I will punch you.
I know.
In the face.
I was like, when we start melting food, we're going to have problems. But that line killed me when he was like, I had to specify she's 5'5", 190 pounds. I'm sorry, I didn't make enough food.
That was aggressive.
I said, whoa.
He seems a little toxic.
He's a little mad about the
about the kid.
The 12-year-old.
Right. No, that's crazy, though. I mean, yeah, I mean, of course I'm going to side with the mom. I mean, not the mom, the pregnant wife.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Because screw his mom and her husband. He should have dealt with that a long time ago.
Yeah. She should divorce him.
Right. I mean, for the sole reason that he didn't do anything before and let his mother do that. Mm-hmm. Punching him, that's crazy. That's out of pocket. But you're at your wit's end.
What else are you supposed to do?
I'm not condoning it, is all I'm saying.
Yeah.
But I'm not like not on her side.
Yeah, no.
Right.
Maybe she should have played slap shots.
Maybe she should have. Here, hands her his mom a shot.
She's like, what? And she just goes, she doesn't even drink
shots.
The shot.
Right. That's funny, though. Oh, God, I was not expecting that at all. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, you guys let us know what you think on this because. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, I do know, but I'm curious what you guys think. Definitely.
I'm curious if anyone has a different take on that because...
If you're with the mother-in-law, something's wrong with you. Anyways, that concludes episode 4 of See You Next Tuesday podcast, you guys.
Thanks for being here.
Yeah, I'm so excited. This is a fun one. We had so much to talk about with Chapel. I feel like mm-hmm. that just is still living rent-free in my head.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Yeah. So we have some exciting things coming up. We've definitely got Halloween still. I'm trying to figure out my outfit, trying to figure out my costume. We have the Joker coming out this week. Or came out last week.
Heard some things.
Oh my God, wait, don't tell me anything. I want to go in completely blind and mm-hmm. just have like an unfiltered opinion.
Okay. I unfortunately have been filtered.
Oh,
I know.
Don't tell me.
I'm not going to tell you.
Good. So we have that and I feel like that'll definitely be at the watch of the week next week.
Yes. I want you to dabble in the show because I am thoroughly enjoying it.
Okay.
It's very lighthearted. Okay. I believe it's called Nobody Wants This.
Ooh.
New on Netflix.
Okay. I will do it. I need a new show.
I'm enjoying it. It's comedic relief.
Oh, I love I need some of that.
I know.
Tell me lies. I need some of that.
Tell me lies, monsters. If that's not your vibe, Nobody Wants This. Such a fun show.
Okay, I'm excited.
Yeah.
Okay, that'll be my new watch because I don't know what to do with myself after Tell Me Lies.
Yeah.
So remember to like, please comment your hot takes, comment your opinions. We want to know it all and give us some topic of combos and what you guys want us to watch next week. And famously, we'll see you next Tuesday.